Those are some memories. There must be some very special memories over those years. And of course, the technology's changed, where you broadcast from has changed, what you do has changed. I guess even what you say has changed.
The one thing that I've always believed, and I believe it now more than anything, that my 36 years has been enjoyable, but it's been based, and I think it's been successful, because all that I am is a devoted Gloucester supporter with a microphone. It's the one key element of Gloucester rugby. And whilst teams like Leicester have got bigger grounds and therefore able to attract bigger crowds, Gloucester set the benchmark with their support and the atmospherics, as I call it. And all I have ever done is fed my manic support of Gloucester, I love them, into this job. I am simply another supporter with a microphone.
And when you get this coming from the shed, that must make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
The players are constantly telling me that when they run around for their pre-match warm-up, that is exactly what happens, although most of them haven't got hairs on their head like me these days. But you never, ever want to lose that feeling. And things have changed at Gloucester. We've talked about technology. We've talked the decorative bits of Gloucester, that they built new stands. They've done everything else. But the one thing that has never changed is the passion of the Gloucester support. And I'm proud to say I'm a supporter above everything else.
I just wish these days, perhaps you could go back a little bit like you did probably when you started, when the players would end up in the Jockey or over the road or in the pubs around town. And if you thought they'd had a bad game, you could go and tell them yourself.
That is true. I'm perhaps fortunate that before each match, I conduct interviews with a couple of players in the bar, and I interview them as a supporter rather than an employee. And I tell them then I think they've been rubbish.
I've seen you down in the Shogun Bar, and that, to me, you make it look very easy. But I'll bet behind the scenes of that, there's a lot of research goes on before you get... I know you know them pretty well, but you must have a lot of research to do to make sure you're asking the right sort of question.
Indeed. It starts on a Friday when AD, the admin lady with the team, contacts me with who I'm interviewing tomorrow. And then, of course, my mind is a race. If you're doing it so regularly throughout the season, then you must ensure that the questions aren't repetitive. We attract a huge attendance in the Shogun Bar now. I know a lot of them there for a drink, but a lot of them say to me, I love the interviews. It's great to see the players, because Gloucester supporters want to associate with the players. They want to know what's going through the players' mind. And yet, as soon as I wake up on match day morning, I'm thinking, interviews, what are we asking? What are we asking? And as you know, Pete, you must have thought about it before you turned up in my front room.
Absolutely did. It's Graham Spring talking to me, Pete Wilson, on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. We're well into his time at King's Home now as the stadium announcer. Have you ever been replaced? I can remember DJs from another local radio station or a DJ coming and doing it, and Gloucester Rugby playing music after tries and things, which didn't go down well, and I think the crowd let them know that.
As I said before, Pete, the great thing about Gloucester is the support, and unfortunately, occasionally, the bright-eyed marketing guys think they can change the fact that the greatest atmosphere is produced by the support. And I was called into a meeting, I think we're probably talking about 6 years ago now, and I was told that my job was going to diminish, because they were going to introduce a local DJ, not from your station, and that they were going to play music after tries. And I was horrified, and I said, it won't work. And they said, oh, it will. And I said, the last thing you want here is some gobby DJ, and don't insult the crowd by playing music after tries. Well, they did both. They introduced the DJ. I think he lasted about five matches before the crowd ensured that he left. And, of course, they booed. Gloucester scored, I think, about five tries against Bristol, and the players must have been absolutely amazed that every time they scored, the crowd booed.
Because of the music.
And, of course, the music lasted one match.
I was amongst them.
I'm sure you were. And, of course, after the event, I had to say, well, I did tell you so. But The marketing at Gloucester, as far as I'm concerned, is fabulous, but they do occasionally try to bring in someone who is totally wrong for the place.
It has to be a tradition. Gloucester is a place of tradition, and the supporters, especially those in the shed, because I've been there myself, when a try is scored by either team, they appreciate it and they clap and cheer as you come back from the try. And they don't want music, they don't want it. And I guess when, in many years' time, we hope, you decide to up sticks and not be the announcer anymore, the last thing you want is the DJ type person, I think. Well, I would say that as a supporter, and I guess lots would support me in that. You don't want that going on the field, do you?
Well, I don't. I think that when the time comes to replace me, and Gloucester will probably get fed up with me before I get fed up with them, we don't need a foreign voice. And we most certainly don't want anyone, and I talk as a supporter now, who has not got Gloucester at their heart. The replacement for me is somewhere in that crowd and is a die-hard Gloucester supporter. Because the most important factor, Pete, is continuity. At the beginning of each season, I get the fixture list and those days are blanked out in my diary. People can get married, people can get buried, people can have whatever they want. I will be at King's Home because I am committed, and only supporters, real supporters, are that committed.
That's dedication. Graham, to finish with, is there one event, one moment, one match at King's Home that's going to stick in your memory till they screw the lid down on your box?
One player, possibly, and I'm going back before I was the stadium announcer, as you kindly put it. I guess we're talking about 1966-67 time. The one player that excited me and made me want to become a Gloucester supporter was a fullback who previously played, I believe, for Percy Park. Came to Wycliffe College to be a teacher and went by the name of Don Rutherford. He was and remains in my mind the finest attacking fullback that Gloucester have ever had, and he made me want to go back to King's Home.
I remember watching Don Rutherford at King's Home, noting how he could kick a ball down the touchline with that screw and make it go a long way and fade into touch. I actually watched him on the television teaching how to do it, and it would bounce a yard into touch. And also some of the times when he would catch the ball over his head, somebody put a long kick in, he'd run back, catch it over his head. He was just unbelievable. But I mean, probably other people would believe lots of other players were unbelievable as well.
Indeed they would. Sorry, I'd like to just finish, Pete, if I've got time, by singling out two other players who I thought were tremendous. The finest captain I have ever seen at Gloucester was the late, great Mike Nichols. That man led us to the 1972 national knockout. The results this season wouldn't be as they were if Mike Nichols was captain. And the only other player that really stood out, got one international cap in a game, I believe it was about 1976. I think he played in the same team as Pete Butler. That was an outside half from the RAF called Chris Williams. Wonderful player to me. Those three stand out more than matches do for me. Don Rutherford, Chris Williams and Mike Nichols.
Graham, long may your job as stadium announcer continue. Long may you want to do it. Long may Gloucester Rugby want you to do it. But not until we've heard from the CEO of Gloucester Rugby, Stephen Vaughan, because I emailed Stephen telling him that I knew that Graham had 36 years service with the club and asked if it would be possible when he finished, and he had intended to do that any time soon, that he might have a seat in the stand. Stephen, thanks very much. I know you're a very busy man. Before you tell me whether he is allowed to have a seat in the stand when he retires, just tell me what his value is to Gloucester Rugby.
Yeah, well, Graham's a huge value to us, or Springy, as everybody calls him. He knows everybody, whether it be player, steward or member of the board. And he's a legend at the club. He's brilliant, very, very well studied, knows everything there is to know about Gloucester Rugby. And yeah, I think he's probably about as popular as it gets around the club.
And of course, you know, he does the interviews in the Shogun Bar with a couple of players before every game. This is an innovation that's only come in the last few years. But that's so well appreciated. And I guess, you know, as he said to me already, takes a lot of research reason on what to ask the players, although he knows them.
Yeah, he does. And he does it so naturally as well. That's the beauty of Graham. The players love him as well. They know he's not going to stitch them up or ask them something horrible that they don't want to know. Very, very approachable. Supporters love him as well. And he's what you would want. Been here forever. He's done a wonderful job. He's a safe pair of hands. But do you know what? He's got real humour about him as well. And he's a really, really top bloke.
But he's not frightened to speak his mind, neither is he. I don't know whether you've come across it yet, but Graham has his own thoughts on things and he's not frightened to tell people.
He's not. In fact, there was a game this year, I forget the game actually, and he was chatting to one of the players at half-time and I think he kind of delivered Nigel's team talk out on the pitch as he told the team of his dissatisfaction with the first half. So fair play to him. At least he's got the club at heart.
So I wrote this email to you, said lots of things, said, would you consider giving Graham a nice seat in the stand when he decides to retire, which, as I said, I don't think he intends to do any time soon. What was the answer to that?
Well, firstly, I thought, well, he never sits down anyway, so that's a waste of a seat. But to be absolutely true, Graham is absolutely welcome at this club any time. And as soon as, for whatever reason, Graham's not doing what he does now, then he has got a seat in the main stand at Gloucester and he'll be welcomed with open arms at any time at Kingshome.